my favorite podcast ever because it's all about being off track. This podcast was built for me. The DUMP, baby, you know me.
You're listening to the Credit Union Leadership Podcast, a podcast that delivers value and offers up insight that'll help your credit union grow. ServiceStar has been consulting with credit unions for over 20 years, growing them in the areas of cultural development, leadership development, and management training. To learn more about what ServiceStar can do for you or your credit union, check them out at servicestarconsulting.com.
Welcome to the Credit Union Leadership Podcast. You got Scott and Scott talking shop. Well, actually, we're not talking shop. Scott, we're going to talk about working at the dump.
As a figure of speech. I'm not shaming those people who work at the dump. Actually, I'm pretty excited that people actually pick trash up in America and take it someplace that is not, you know, my backyard. That's a fantastic vocation. What I am saying is if I feel like I'm not excited about Monday, then that might be a DUMP. So let me define DUMP for you, okay? D, right? Doesn't mesh with my brand. You know, there's a mismatch there with who I am, my ethics, my morals, my core values, the team, right? The boss, the organization might be cutting corners and I've got high levels of ethics. They might use curse words. I don't use curse words, right? So there's a mismatch. You don't feel like you have an umbrella protecting you. The credit union movement, right, has the umbrella man. You don't feel like anyone's got your back. You feel like everyone's out for themselves. M. Manual labor. For me, that's actually not something that I get excited about. Now, some people would maybe love a job where they get to work out for and get paid for it. But man, oh man, when I had to do manual labor like landscaping, I prayed for rain because I thought maybe if it rained, I didn't have to do the manual labor. MP, people. I really want to work for someone I can trust and that trusts me. That reciprocal trust is more important than the job itself. I'll take the landscaping job if the team trusts me and the manager I trust as well. And so I want to walk through maybe, Andrew Lee, some of the places that you remember to be dumpy jobs, places where you didn't look forward to Monday. And what were some of those critical elements? Why is that important? And then what can we do as leaders to keep our employees from feeling like they're going to a DUMP kind of role?
So we want to prevent current and aspiring leaders from going to a job that feels like a drag.
Yeah.
And if it feels like a drag, maybe it feels like maybe you're not working in the waste industry. When we talk about DUMP, we're talking about you're literally just in the trash.
You're in the dumps. You're in the dumps.
The dumps of your life.
Yeah. So, you're just not having it. Not excited about Monday. You're dreading Monday. You hope Sunday actually is Groundhog Day and it repeats itself over and over and over again. That way you never have to actually step foot into another Monday again.
So what do we do to prevent that Groundhog Day mentality?
I'll tell you what, man.
Does it mesh?
Yeah. Yeah. So I just kind of walk through the problems with the DUMP, right? Look, we're talking about places where status and ego are maybe rampant. Mm-hmm. People are taking credit for things that they said or things that they thought of when really their idea maybe started us down the trajectory of where we were going, but it was the team that contributed to that idea. So instead of it's team over me, it's me over team, right? Instead of are we over me, it's me over we. And so this everyone out for themselves mentality, we actually see in some other industries where it's highly competitive. There's a lot of individual contributors, but in our great industry of the credit union movement, we are more we over me. Talk to me about some jobs you've had, Scott Anderle, where there wasn't that lowered self-consciousness where it really was every man for themselves without maybe listing the company, but describe what that atmosphere was like for you when you had a dumpy job.
Yeah. Well, in a few episodes back, we talked about what does the restaurant service industry, the food service industry have in common with financial institutions? And I think this applies to all jobs because this is us being human. But specifically in the food service industry, if you think about waiters or bartenders, and I know a lot of the people in the credit union industry started off in the food industry at one time, it was a every man out for themselves job. This was my area and you don't touch it. I'm the bartender. This is my bar. These are my people. This is my company within this big company, the bigger restaurant. Or if you're a server, these are my table. These are my people. I'm not going to help you with your people if you need help taking an order or running food or there's an issue. I'm taking care of my people, because this idea of tips was so prevalent for some of us where it was like, I'm paying attention to these people because I'm getting the return on this, instead of thinking about the restaurant as a whole of, hey, we all represent this place. And if these people keep coming, want to keep coming back, it's because they're experienced and we need to work together. So I think that's a practical example. And I think people have seen that in their own lives, in their own departments that they have. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah. When money's involved and it's, you know, either you're going to get the money or I'm going to get the money, that's usually a place where that might happen. Mm-hmm. I've also seen it happen in staffing industries. I used to work in the staffing industry, and it was a very competitive environment. Whereas if I took the phone call, somebody might fight me because they left the voicemail, right? Even in mortgages, I remember I went toe to toe with a guy who stood up in my wedding because he left a voicemail. They called back, I picked up and got a $600,000 loan. It's not immune to our great industry of the financial industry. I think it has to do with the leadership style and the organizational structure that's deployed, right? So if you're deploying a highly competitive sales environment with top-down competition as a organized way to get people to higher levels of productivity, that's going to be more of a push versus a pull, meaning it's a bunch of extrinsic motivation, right? Like, hey, you got to hit this number or you're fired. And if you hit this number and more, you get cash. And so that extrinsic motivation works, and that's why it's a model that's deployed at some organizations. The other organizations will use intrinsic motivation, either with competitive pay, a very compelling mission, or a servant leadership mindset. I would, even though we don't call it that, I would say our vertex is in the category of servant leadership. And let me kind of explain. Let's use a sales company, for example. A extrinsic motivation for a sales company would be, you need to go out and push our products onto our people. Whereas an intrinsic motivation for a sales company would be, I want you to help as many people as possible. I want you to keep track of how you help them. And we're going to broadcast those stories out to people that that don't know who we are. And it's through those stories that they'll get familiar with us. And it'll be, you know, more of a grassroots, people sharing how we impacted them versus us telling somebody to go buy X, Y, and Z product. And so in my own personal life, I describe it as this: personal witness versus testimony. Personal witness doesn't go as far as somebody's testimony. So if you can get other people to speak well about your team, about your model, about your mission, about your company, about your organization, about your leader, versus it always being you speaking well about you, you speaking well about your team, you speaking well about your leadership style, that's that lowered self-conscious. And I really do think that's the tip that we can give our listeners, is that if you're starting every sentence with I, you have a higher level of self-consciousness. You need to lower that level of self-consciousness and start talking more objectively than subjectively. Let me give you an example. You know, I feel that you aren't making as big of an impact when you don't smile when you answer the phone. Here is the objective version of that. Your smile is what changes your dialect and your tone and your pitch. You need to smile more, because it's going to improve your experience that you're giving people when they call into our department. Mm-hmm. One sounds like a recommendation, and it's totally based on self-bias, which means that it can be rejected pretty easily. The other one's based on objective information. It removes self-consciousness and it puts the others in front of you. If you want to make it even more dynamic, throw in the mission and the core values to tie that around that pillar to make it even more firm and stand in place. Now, Mr. Scott Anderle, you've started to attend our Vertex Live nationwide classes. Where have you seen this servant leadership model being shown in our teachings there?
All the time. I think that's what we teach that's so different. We had someone in our most recent class say, oh, we've never talked about the idea of catching our team doing it right, which I think is a great example of servant leadership, because you're putting other people's names in the spotlight. But I did want to ask you one question, if I can take it back real quick, Albrecht. right, so we're in this D. Does it mesh with my brand? Does it mesh with my brand? So we've talked about some tips with aspiring and current leaders. What I'm hearing you say with does it mesh with our brand? And we're talking right here, my question is for the brand of the credit union, and then going farther down that category of your specific brand in your department within your credit union movement. You are specifically saying these extrinsic motivators, they're good, but sometimes it might go against the brand of camaraderie, where it feels like it's just about myself or everyone about themselves. Where you talked about intrinsic motivation for our team is on brand with the credit union movement, and especially our value of camaraderie and teamwork, where it's not like, hey, I'm going to answer this call and finish the loan process so I can get the credit for this. But it's, hey, what can we do as a team, and what intrinsic motivators can we do to inspire people to work together as a team? Am I hearing you right on that?
Yeah. And both extrinsic and intrinsic motivation work, right? So the brain needs something to get going. If you just give somebody a day that's open and they don't have intrinsic motivation to write a book, just to use that as a random example, not that I recently wrote a book, but you know, if they don't have that passion, that purpose, that kind of internal drive to do something with that day, and they don't have somebody coming into that day or some expectation for that day that's from outside sources, then you're going to see someone with a problem with procrastination, a problem with what's the old ancient proverb say, a little of rest under a tree, a little folding of hands, surely poverty comes quickly afterwards, right? And so what we know from the military is if there's four people visiting houses, and this is what they did in Afghanistan when they were trying to find people who might be working for the Taliban, they would go house to house, and there was always a four-man unit doing this, okay? Four-man or woman unit. And there was a doorman, and the doorman's job was to be the first one through the door. Now, why is that important? Why would you designate that as a doorman versus just person number one? Well, if the Taliban were there, the doorman is probably the one that's going to get shot first. And so the doorman has to rely on the other three guys to cover with fire. And there's also a plan in place to get him to a hospital, or get her to a hospital, or to a helicopter to get air flighted out of there and get his or her wounds addressed. And so as a doorman, you have to have 100% confidence that your team has your back, or else the whole thing fails.
Mm-hmm.
So in the military, when they go through training, they train you to not shoot to protect yourself. They train you to shoot to protect somebody next to you, because they know from studying this that you actually have a more effective shot if you're shooting to protect the man or the woman standing beside you versus if you're trying to protect yourself. You're more effective as a military person if you're protecting somebody to your right or to your left than if you're just out for yourself. And this actually translates into people who make it into the Navy SEALs or don't make it into the Navy SEALs. There was a clip recently where they were saying, hey, who makes it into the Navy SEALs? And the gentleman answered the question honestly. He said, well, we don't know who makes it into the Navy SEALs just by looking at somebody or by like a personality type or demographic type, but we absolutely know who doesn't make it into the Navy SEALs. Star athletes that have been given everything in life and have never had any type of adversity they had to go through don't make it into the Navy SEALs. Really, really buff people with tattoos all over that want to like show off how strong they are don't make it into the Navy SEALs. Leaders who like to delegate everything and not touch a lot of things, that's that status and ego we've talked about on the podcast, don't make it into the Navy SEALs. Some of the things that they see common amongst people that are making it into the Navy SEALs, they might be smaller. They might be terrified. They might be shivering in fear. But when they're out of energy, when they're out of emotional support, out of physical support, out of mental support, the ones that make it find a way to dig down deep and stay in for the guy or the gal sitting next to them. It's the servant leaders that make it into the Navy SEALs. I know this movement is built with a bunch of Navy SEALs. We got a bunch of servants that will dig down deep at the end of the day to put that smile on, to make that member transaction that much better.
Hey, Albrecht, I need to stop you. Do you hear that?
I don't hear it. What is it?
That's the music for our upcoming ad from our sponsor, ServiceStar. So we need to take a break and listen to this ad, and we'll be right back to continue talking about this DUMP acronym.
We'll see you then.
Are you a credit union leader that's going through so much drama, unnecessary conflict, and you're even missing deadlines? Well, don't worry. ServiceStar Consulting, we've got a solution for you. You should join us for our new Leaders Worth Following program, where we teach leadership principles from Giant Worldwide. Giant Worldwide is a firm that's worked with Fortune 500 companies, including Delta Airlines and Chick-fil-A. This stuff works. It makes sense. You would want this at your credit union. In this class, we're going to teach you how to recognize and use your leadership voice. These skills are going to help you improve trust, clarify your mission and vision to your team, and overcome the roadblocks that we all experience when it comes to performance and productivity. This leadership voice of yours is also going to ensure that everyone on your team is heard, that your team feels respected and understood. What are you waiting for? Do not let another day go by with this unnecessary drama, conflict, and missing deadlines. Come discover how to use your leadership voice. Click the link, learn more about Leaders Worth Following, and sign up today for our course, Leaders Worth Following.
And welcome back.
I'm wanting to join the Navy SEALs now, even though I don't have the build for it. I think this is the perfect transition for us in the U phase, the umbrella, which we're referencing the umbrella man that was created in 1934. That is the credit union. You could say mascot. I like to say symbol of our function, our role in our members' life. It's protecting them from financial hardship, from distress, and giving them opportunities to fight for dreams. And I love this idea of the Marines that you just said. And it also reminds me, Mike Neal, our founder, shared some great stats with us that I think we should really be intentional of in this umbrella phase with our team. He said that when they did studies specifically for the credit union, they didn't want to pull numbers from other financial institutions because the credit union were a unique set of people. And the statisticians called Mike Neal and said, at first, I didn't know why you wanted to do a separate study for the credit union instead of just using the numbers from the bank. But now I get it. And what the statistician told him from Baylor University was that typical credit union employees don't have a lot in common with other financial institutions or financial services. We have more in common with Red Cross workers, which I think correlates perfectly with this idea of Navy SEALs. We have this idea that we want to protect others. We want to help others. We find purpose when we're taking care of others. Albrecht, could you dive into umbrella? What does that look like? This idea of protecting your partner, making shots to protect them, not yourself. What does that look like in the day-to-day activities for credit union workers?
It's checking with somebody to see when you don't have as much on your plate, what can I take off your plate for you? It's checking before you leave for the day when your shift's over and there's a second shift that's still going to be there. Like, hey, what information would be helpful for me to share with you? Like, what questions do you have? Is there anything that I can do to get you in a better spot to leave? It is taking credit for the things people don't usually want to take credit for. Like, hey, that was on me, man. That, you know, I should have told you that member came in angry. So, you know, don't beat yourself up over that. That's on me. So taking credit for some of the stuff that, you know, most people don't want to take credit for, and then being eager to give somebody a spotlight that somebody's maybe given to you. So, you know, I want to praise so-and-so for their, well, that you can do that, but I mean, you're going to be missing out on the actual rock stars. You know, let me introduce you to this new hire over here. They're the ones that got the member interested in the product in the first place. I'm just the one that closed it. Right. And so, yeah, it's like the bus boy doesn't get the tip. But if the table is messy, you don't get the tip, right? So it's just understanding, like, it takes a team, and having that team mindset always is hard to do, because I don't know what Scott Anderle needs, but I know what I need. I don't know what Scott Anderle wants, but I know what I want. And so getting out of your own way is the way to servant leadership. And when you go to Vertex Live Nationwide, the umbrella is every skill we teach you is not for you. Every skill we teach you is for your others. I mean, if I teach you to be a good delegator, does that help you? Not really. It helps the people you're delegating to, right? Eventually it helps you. You're a good delegator, but if you're an inefficient delegator, that hurts your team. If you're an efficient delegator, that helps your team. If you're a horrible team builder, that hurts your team. If you're an effective team builder, that helps your team. All of the topics we teach in Vertex provides that I have your six mentality, because it's giving the team better, more efficient, more effective management practices so that they don't have to go down the path of learning it the hard way, learning lessons the hard way as to how to deal with a manager who hasn't had management training. You know, the average manager goes 11 years into management before they get their first management training class. So we're equipping managers even before they become managers in this current Vertex Live cohort. We've got people that credit unions have identified that are going to be future leaders coming into this cohort, getting leadership skills even before they become a manager. That's the umbrella that's protecting that team, that's deepening that bench, and that's furthering the movement into the future, in my opinion.
That is great stuff. Leaders are the umbrella of your team, so we can be the umbrella for our members. The next phase in this DUMP acronym is manual
labor. And when you do things ineffectively, that's manual labor. When you are redoing checks over and over and over again at the end of the night, because you didn't line them up the right way, that's manual labor. When you didn't read the instructions as to how to redo the film and the Visa card machine, and so you're sitting there, you're putting it in, you're taking it out, you're putting it in, you're taking it out, you're putting it in, and you didn't take the hour long YouTube video demonstration to walk you through it, that's manual labor. When you're trying to attack problems of life without the team mindset, you can go faster without a team, but you can't go further without a team. The only way to have a difference and be a leader that actually makes progress in this credit union movement is to have a team that helps you get there. If Elon Musk was in a room by himself, not many things would happen. He would be full of ideas, but he needed a team to do all of the things that he's done. And we do too. And so this whole gift of management gets ruined when we continue to be the individual contributor, when we are now in charge of other individual contributors.
So what I'm hearing with manual labor, I think of it as warning signs of you could be putting yourself in a crappy position working in the
dumpy position.
So
it might stink to be working too hard.
You're on fire. Some might even say a dumpster fire. So when we do this, does it mesh with your brand? We've talked about the focus of protection with the umbrella.
Yeah.
And then constantly evaluate how much manual work, labor are you putting into it? And if you are, it could be warning signs that we're not doing things that mesh with our brand or the credit union's brand. It could be warning signs that we or our team doesn't have this umbrella man mentality. So once we've evaluated that, and I think that should be a constant practice, Albrecht, yep. What do you think? Like, I'm thinking like every week or even every day when you're doing activities, asking, should I be doing this?
Ask your team, you know, remember, don't forget about the team. So ask yourself as a self-conscious over team, ask the team, but what do you look for in a good manager? Does the brand of our team meet the identity of you as an individual? Like, what kind of ethical core values do you have? And how do you see that lining up with the ethical core values of our team, right? Do you feel like the team has your back? Do you feel like I have your back? Do you feel like you've got someone that if you were to take a 2-week hiatus, vacation or medical leave, like this thing keeps running without a hitch, right? If the answer to that or any of those questions is no, then you might have to work on some D and some U areas. Vertex Live Nationwide is a great place to start. If you get M issues, this is where strategic thinking comes in. This is where looking at conflict resolution comes in. This is where understanding how to effectively delegate comes in. Like, if you've got ineffective processes making your work harder, then you've got see if Vertex Live still fixes that. And then the P is all about the people, man. This whole industry is people helping people. And it's the leader, it's the boss, according to Gallup surveys, is the number one reason why attrition happens. You know, 70% of people who recently left their job attribute the reason as to why they left their job to their immediate supervisor. I mean, the next thing that was high on that list was pay, competitive pay and benefits, but it wasn't number one. Number one was it's the supervisor. And so those that are in leadership positions in the credit union need to understand that people, feeling like I can trust my manager is one of those things that if you've not gotten training on it, you're not alone. Most managers haven't gotten trained in the first 11 years of their management term, but it's time. It's time to come join our cohort for Vertex Live Nationwide. Join the credit union managers from across the credit union movement nationwide, CEOs to facility managers to MSRs. We've got MSRs in our current cohort. Join the emerging leaders that are there as well as the existing leaders that are there, and network and grow in your knowledge as to how you can be the best P so that your team doesn't think that their job sucks. I want to end on this note. Do you look forward to Mondays? What would it look like if you looked forward to Mondays? And does your team look forward to Mondays? Scott Anderle and I are blessed to have a job where we really do look forward to Mondays. We don't dread Mondays. We don't work at the dump. And maybe it's because we get to teach these classes that are so valuable, but we also, as the teacher, learn so much about how to be an effective and a service star. And that's why I look forward to Mondays.
Service Star Consulting announces the new employee bundle. 3 classes for the price of 1. Your employees are going to get 3 great classes. They're going to get Credit Union PhD, where we talk about the history of the credit union movement and how the people helping people movement got started. This is going to be the groundwork for our next 2 classes. Service Excellence, which is one of my favorite, talks about how to deliver that Chick-fil-A-like level service to our members where they know we care about them. And that's not all. We even give you a 3rd class, which is Becoming a Sales Champion, where we're focused on sales the way it should be, helping people. And we talk about skills to present products to our members so they know that we care about them and their needs. This is the new employee bundle, 3 classes for the price of 1. Go in the show notes and click the link and look at these classes for yourself. Again, it's called the new employee bundle by Service Star Consulting.